This is Artworks, Amanda Smith with you here on Radio National, abc.net.au/rn. Coming up today, bushfire in Australian art, from massive colonial paintings to small 21st century memorials. Perhaps it's not surprising that it's a subject more often depicted by Australian artists than any others, but you might be surprised by just how many have been eyewitnesses to bushfire. And later in the hour here in Artworks, a discussion by Indigenous Australian writers about Indigenous Australian artists on the debate around contemporary urban art versus traditional remote art.
With someone like Vernon Arkey and Richard Bell, who say, you know, our art is Aboriginal art, and they'll also, in a very contentious way, say our art is more authentically Aboriginal than the art from remote communities.
That is contentious.
Yeah, but I don't really think the Mardi Mili artists from Punmu would really care that the proper now group think that they're Ooga Booga or that they're part of a white, some kind of white power structure or victims of a structure. I don't think they're at all interested, you know, and Richard Bell and Vernon Arkey and people like me, we can have this debate, you know, and other writers can have these debates about urban versus remote, but they're just doing what they're doing.
And that promises to be a very interesting discussion, I think, in around about 20 minutes' time. Now, there's probably not that many public art galleries in the world that have a note on their website that says that during bushfire season on Code Red days, they're closed. But the Tarawarra Museum of Art is, after all, right in Victorian bushfire country. It's just outside of Healesville in the Yarra Valley. And on Black Saturday 2009, the flames came within just a few hundred metres of the property. And so now an exhibition that reflects on those fires and more generally on bushfires around Australia over the past 150 years is on at Tarawarra. Jane Scott is the director and the curator of this exhibition called Bushfire Australia. And by the way, there's a few images from it on the Artworks website if you want to look while you listen. And Jane, we're sitting in the gallery surrounded by the works in this exhibition, also in front of a window looking out over the Yarra Valley. This is probably about the most appropriate place you could have an exhibition around this subject, I imagine.
Well, absolutely. And the fact that we are completely surrounded by the bush, you know, from our museum, you can actually see where the fire blazed to us, and it's a constant reminder for this museum just how very lucky we were, but of course how much devastation reigned around us.
Well, it's more than a year now since those fires, the worst of the past 200 years. It's autumn now, bushfire season's over for another year. Why wait until now to put on this show?
Well, I thought it was really important for us not to actually present the exhibition until after the 12-month anniversary. For us, as a public museum, we certainly wanted to make a response, but we felt it would be more beneficial to the community for us to have the exhibition follow the first anniversary. So we held back that little bit to present it. And also, as you mentioned, after the dangerous fire season, because we certainly didn't want to be putting this exhibition on at a time when, you know, there was still the possibility and people were living with that danger day to day.
Well, looking around here, you see that really a major theme for this show is the artist as witness, I suppose. A number of the artists you've chosen were directly affected by the 2009 fires around here or by earlier fires in other places. I mean, you've got some of the most famous names in 20th century Australian art represented in this show too, haven't you? From Arthur Boyd, Sidney Nolan, Fred Williams, Joy Hester, all have responses in some way to bushfire. Mm. But one of the earliest paintings here is called Black Thursday, February the 6th, 1851, painting by William Strutt. Do you want to describe that painting, Jane, and tell us how Strutt came to paint this?
Well, it is an extraordinary painting, and it's 3 metres long, one of the biggest paintings in the exhibition. And you know, it is now considered to be one of our most important colonial paintings in Australia. So it was very important for us to start at this time too, because we wanted to be able to reflect the historical nature of the fires throughout Australian history. And Strutt was really the first person to document in such a graphic way one of the first terrible documented fires in Australia. A quarter of Victoria was on fire with those terrible fires of 1851. And I think what Strutt has done in this painting is just to capture the chaos of native and also domestic animals trying to flee the fire, and humans trying to flee the fire, and just this looming disaster. And it's quite chaotic, the painting.
Yes, it's sort of a great wall of people and animals, as you say, fleeing. It sort of reminds me, though, of 19th century battle scenes, you know, like the Battle of Waterloo, that sort of thing. There's that sort of panorama to the action here, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's dynamic, and it really does express just the fear factor that must be involved in dealing with such a monumental disaster. But it's, you know, unusual watching people look at it because it's such a big painting, but you have to get up so close because there's so much detail.
Well, another famous big colonial painting that you've got here is the one by John Longstaff, Gippsland Sunday Night, February the 20th, 1898. It's interesting, isn't it, how the sort of dates and place names of our major bushfires get etched into our memory. They're also, you know, often the names of the paintings, as we've just mentioned. But it's a bit like the names of battles, you know, places that you'd otherwise never have heard of, like Gallipoli or Tobruk or Long Tan. You know, they get repeated and remembered, and here it's Black Thursday and Red Tuesday and Ash Wednesday and so on and so on. I think the poet Chris Wallace Crabb describes these names as a kind of strange litany of comfort. I'm not sure about the comfort. I'd say they're more a sort of strange litany of familiarity.
Well, I mean, it is the ongoing battle that we have in Australia. You know, every decade we have one of these phenomenal fires that comes through. And that was one of the interesting things about doing this exhibition, is it's part of the Australian psyche now that come summer, we all look out the window and watch for smoke. And so, you know, it is the Australian battle, I guess, and it's ongoing, and it happens with such regularity that we have to accept that this is actually part of who we are as Australians, that we battle with these phenomenal fires.
Well, if we go back to the arrival of Europeans in this country, as Captain Cook sailed up the east coast of Australia in 1770 in the Endeavour, he saw smoke coming from fires all up the coast, and that's actually how Cook knew that this land was inhabited. That's what he writes in his journal. And, of course, Indigenous people managed this land with fire back then, not now. And there are some paintings by contemporary Indigenous artists in this show, one called Fire Country Dreaming from 1988 by two Walpiri artists, Uni Nampitjimpa Martin and Dolly Nampitjimpa Daniels. What's the sort of story that this painting tells, Jane?
Well, what's important is to also talk about the other side of bushfires, which is it's about regeneration and regrowth. And Indigenous artists, you know, have always documented that aspect of fires. And it's important to have that representation in an exhibition like this because, and some of the other artists have tackled it too, that, you know, the fire is a very natural phenomenon and that it does herald regrowth. And it's an important cycle, and Indigenous artists tackle that and express that. And these dreaming stories are just another aspect and another way of looking at the fire.
Well, there's a whole politics around bushfire, of course, isn't there, about, you know, as you've sort of been suggesting, I suppose, about how we live in this land, about whether we should be living in bushfire-prone areas at all, about whether the land, such as the bushland that we're looking at right now through this big window down through the Yarra Valley, whether that should be cleared, and also about why we have arsonists. You know, so many of these fires start because they're deliberately lit. Do any of the other artists in this show get into these sorts of questions and politics around bushfire?
Yeah, a lot of the artists are questioning those sorts of things, in particular Susan Purdy, whose photograms document from the beginning of time, before Australia even existed. She goes back that far. But in her work, she wanted to talk about what it is about our society that can possibly create somebody who would light a fire when we know the damage that is wreaked by this. And so her work actually does talk about that. And it also talks about the flame as being a positive thing also. So she really kind of, you know, she's researching and talking about all those different aspects, which I think is fantastic.
Now, you've got a sign at the entrance to this exhibition that warns that some of the imagery here might be distressing to people. And, of course, around this area there is still a lot of, not just grief, but hardship among people. What happens if someone comes to see this exhibition and gets really upset by it, Jane?
Well, we knew that would happen, and we wanted to make people aware that these are quite graphic works and they make you feel, you know, quite overwhelmed. So we actually undertook some training, the staff here. We had a counsellor come in. We also undertook some training for our volunteer staff who work at the museum, basically to give them some tools to help to comfort people. And we've also set up a quiet room where people can sit and have a chat about their response to the exhibition. We've also got backup from some of the counselling services that provide free counselling, and we're able to give those numbers to people as well. So, you know, that side of it is, for somebody who runs an art gallery, is quite a rare thing to deal with. But I have to say that it's you know, very rewarding for me that art can actually have that effect on people. And that's why I love working in the arts, is that, you know, we can express without words a whole range of emotional responses. And, you know, I've had some great crying moments with people since we've had this exhibition on, where we've just shared our grief. And that's part of the process, and people need to be able to do that and need to feel comfortable to express that. And, you know, an art gallery is a safe place, but, you know, as you pointed out, we do have a warning at the beginning of the exhibition, and particularly for families that are bringing children through, just to be aware that, you know, they could have that sort of response.
And Bushfire Australia is on until late in July at Tarawarra Museum of Art in Healesville in Victoria. It's free of charge to get in. Jane Scott is the director of Tarawarra and the curator of this show. Jane, thanks for taking us through it.
You're very welcome, Amanda.
You're listening to Artworks on ABC Radio National. Now, if you head northeast from the Tarawarra Museum of Art in Healesville, you get to St Andrews. And just north of there, on the way to King Lake, is where Camilla Tadich lives. She's one of the local artists who's in the Bushfire Australia exhibition.
So we're heading up the hill toward what was near the old shed. And the fire came up the hill and it hit the shed first, and then the cottage. Just, there was no way we were going to save it. And behind the cottage is a two-story barn, which was four stories of flames. So this is where the cottage was, and now is just some bare ground waiting to restart the building. But you know, the days after the fires, it was just a big, smelly, toxic mess, really, and quite sad.
Camilla Tadich is the youngest artist in the Bushfire Australia show, and one whose own experience of bushfire is among the most recent, from February the 7th, 2009.
We were all aware that there was a fire over in Kilmore. Could see the quite large plume of smoke, and at about 3:30... the colour changed and it all became quite dark and brown. And we looked to the ridge, which we're looking at the moment, and it came over the top corner of the paddock up there, roared down, and we had about 20 minutes before it hit the house. We tried to save as much as we could, but we ended up hiding in the main house, and the fire roared over the top of the house and we once it had passed, went out and put out as much as we could. So it was a fairly terrifying experience that I don't really want to go through again.
Well, you have four quite small, detailed, quite delicate paintings in the show at Tarawarra. One of them is called 24 Days After. Camilla, what's the significance of 24 Days After?
24 Days After was the day that the winds were incredibly strong. There was ash and dust together and it blew across all the valleys, and because there were no leaves on any of the trees, it just roared through. And I went out and thought, oh, look, I better document this, and actually was stopped by the police and told to go inside, which was quite a bizarre experience at the time. But I took this photo of the opposite hill behind the property and, you know, quickly ran inside. And then when I actually viewed the photo, I thought, my God, that's really quite eerily post-apocalyptic. And I started on that work, and it was quite a difficult work to make, because where it looks out onto that view is to King Lake, and just the hills disappearing into this white, ashy, almost sort of misty looking. And yeah, it wasn't a good experience painting that painting, but it needed to be done.
Well, I know exactly what you mean about that day, because I was actually around this region on that day. I was driving to Yay to interview someone for Artworks, and that was the day that the police sent the text message out to everyone, wasn't it, warning them of extreme danger. And that text arrived as I was driving through those sort of burnt-out forests and smoke and dust. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Just describe that painting for us.
It's whites and sort of dull browns, and there's a lot of black sticks, which are all the dead trees, and they fade out toward the background of the painting. And so you have this quite sort of spooky looking foreground of, you know, basically nothing but blackened trees and this small track disappearing into the back of the hill. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you were taking photographs in the immediate aftermath.
So I went out several times, and this is my normal practice for my painting. And so I thought, look, I have to go out and document this, because although it's going to be terribly confronting doing it, I want to come back to it later on. It was really quite a horrible experience, but I did document quite a bit, and I'm really happy I did.
Yes, well, with the three other paintings of yours that are in the exhibition at Tarawarra, what have you depicted in those, and what were you wanting to convey?
There's the roadside memorial, Strathuan, which is of, I think, about four trees in the foreground and a burnt barbed wire fence. And on one of the trees is a bunch of flowers and some burnt metal and stuff at the bottom of the tree. And I remember seeing this when driving along. I wasn't comfortable taking the photo of that. I thought that's where someone's lost their life. But I thought it was necessary, just an acknowledgement. Someone's put that there, but it just had this sort of strange beauty of the colour within the blackness. But, it is a bit confronting for some people. I was a bit hesitant to make that painting. And Ninx Road painting, which is they're all of similar size, is of someone's house that's burnt, and there's a burnt car and some tanks that have melted. And that one was also a difficult one. I was a bit concerned that would end up upsetting people, but the colours in it really represent the colours that we live with for a long period of time, which were these ashy greys and pinks and the browns and this really quite bleached out landscape. And, you know, people had survived on that property, so I was comfortable with making the work, and it's a representation of what things look like post Black Saturday.
Well, in the 14 months now since Black Saturday, what's it been like to watch the way the landscape, at least, is recovering?
It's been amazing. I've never seen such a change in colours. We went from quite black and white, And then we went into these browns and these pinks and oranges on all the bark, and then we had the sprouting. And I think the most amazing sight I saw was the xanthorrhoea that grow up towards King Lake. And when they started to regrow, they had these amazing multicoloured tops, like these big wigs blowing around in the wind. And it was just, you know, there was quite a lot of sadness of how much was lost, but also quite a lot of excitement seeing the regrowth. And like, we're currently sitting looking at quite a thick, dense forest of wattles that are growing back in the valley.
Yes, we can see the burnt out trunks, but there's a lot of green.
Yeah, there is. But the day after, you know, the following weeks after the fires, it was just a very sad, sad landscape that was just incredibly depressing to witness. It puts a smile back on your face to see this growing back and to see the trees surviving. And I think after winter, we'll see a whole new stage, which will be even better.
And Camilla Tadich is one of the artists represented in the exhibition Bushfire Australia. Camilla, it's great to meet you, and I know I've interrupted your meeting with your case manager. Just tell us what the meeting with the case manager is for people like you.
All the families that are involved in the fires were appointed a case manager through the bushfire recovery. So I think at this point a lot of people use them for a great deal of just communication and support, which is really essential because a lot of people still haven't actually really established themselves again. They're still going. And we're just beginning to rebuild the cottage, so it's good to keep in the know with things.
Well, I'll let you get back to your meeting with your case manager. Camilla, thanks for speaking with me.
Thanks, Amanda.